listening to Fox Sports Radio.
That's right. I'm RJ live. Radio Row Friday. It's winding down. Not near as busy as it was a few hours ago, but we are here dedicated to deliver you an action-packed hour to recap the week, the 2 weeks leading up to the big game. And we're going to start with an annual tradition, first time ever, which is the seven factors that matter most to pick the Super Bowl winner. We're going to do all seven of them this show, leading up to Fezzik's very best prop bet of the week. I'm joined by Steve Fezzik, professional bettor, NFL expert. Also to my left, Jonas Knox, also known as the voice of the fans.
That's right, voice of the fan. And guys, we are live in Atlanta. It's Radio Row. It's the Friday before the biggest game of the year. So we must start like we've done every single day with a market update on the game right now on pregame.com. The Patriots are a 2.5-point favorite. The over-under is 56.
Now listen, a lot of times they say legally you should say the big game. I don't listen to that kind of stuff. I'm going to say the Super
right.
Bowl line.
Yes.
The Super Bowl line, 2.5. Fez, let's start with where – is it 2.5 flat, or do you feel like it's leaning closer to 3? Now, obviously, it's not 3. It's not 2. Which way is it teetering?
It's teetering slightly towards 3. I like to call it, RJ, 2.57.
Yes. Fezzik loves math. So instead of 2.5, it's 2.6, 2.7. But it makes sense. It's somewhere in between 2.5 and 3. But just a smidge over 2.5. Where you've actually had a change of heart, Fezzik, about where you think this line goes. And this is not an idle question. Because if you know, or at least you have a good idea, where the line is going to go, it tells you when to pick and bet your game. So, for example, if you're pretty confident the line's going to go to 3 – and you like the Rams, you'd be crazy to bet the Rams plus 2.5. You wait, grab up the 3. Now, if you like the Pats, you think the line's going to go to 3, you grab that 2.5 as quickly as possible. This is not science. We don't know for sure. Even a professional, and to be candid, Fezzik is probably the best in the world at predicting line moves. It's been, what, 4 years you've been doing it publicly, and your line moves have been correct when you project them about 70% of the time.
Correct.
What's your guess in this game?
I think the line on this game is actually going to close 2, RJ.
Wow. So just a little bit ago, I mean a couple days ago, you thought it was much more likely to go to 3.
Yes.
I still think it's more likely to go to 3. Why? Because the public is going to bet the Patriots. They're familiar with them. It's Brady and Belichick. Not all of them, 70% maybe of the public. And the public has their biggest say on Saturday and even more on Sunday. Professionals might be betting early, but the public's betting game day, and I think you're going to see a lot of Pats money. But if Fezzik feels like it's 2 and I feel like it's going to be 3, I feel like we both agree it's most likely to stay at 2.5.
Yes.
But if it had to move, you're saying 2, I'm saying 3. What does that tell you? It still tells you something, guys. If you like the Pats, bet them now. Why? Because if it goes to 3, it's a catastrophe. If it goes to 2, you gain something, laying 2 instead of 2.5, but very little. You're risking more than you're going to gain, so why risk more? If you like the Rams, wait. If it goes to 2, you really haven't lost all that much. Plus 2, plus 2.5, no big deal. If it goes to 3, you've gained big value. So wait for the value on the Rams. Gobble up to 2.5 if it's the Pats. You agree with that, even though you have a lean that it might go down, Fez.
That's correct. Get down now if you like the Patriots.
I'm RJ Bell, straight out of Vegas. Market recap, one of our seven biggest factors in this game. Fez, the betting action. In fact, let's go to Brad Powers on this one in Vegas. We don't want him to feel unwanted. Brad, pregame.com, go to the Game Center consensus tab. It gives you bet split, cash split. What are we seeing on the game?
Yeah, overall handle more than 1.3 million now. Ticket percentage, 65% of the tickets on the Patriots, 73% of the cash on New England.
Now, when the cash is higher than the tickets, it's a sign the bigger bets are on that side. So not only most of the bets on the Pats, the bigger bets on the Pats, the Patriots. Okay, Fez, next topic. Let's talk about the line move. We called out Colin Cowherd. There's no sacred
No sacred cows.
Here. And he was talking about, and in fact, I did this on our podcast. We recorded it today from Radio Row. I'll have it out tomorrow at RJ in Vegas on Twitter. Me and Colin, about 25 minutes breaking down the Super Bowl. I told him, Colin, you were wrong, baby. He was saying, oh, the odds makers, the sports books opened up the Rams minus one. And then the dum-dums in the public. That's not how he said it, but that's what he meant. The dum-dums in the public said, oh, it's up to 2.5. Well, be smart with the sports books and be on the Rams. That's what Colin was saying. No, no, no. Fez, it was what? About an hour from the open. So conference championship night. It was only about an hour from when it went from Rams minus one all the way up to Rams plus 2.5.
Exactly right. And those were pro bettors who were betting New England. Give me some of that plus one and pick them. Outstanding value. None of the public was betting yet.
Now, listen, Fezzik doesn't want to brag. You've got a ticket in your pocket, don't you, Fez?
Oh, I'll brag.
All right, go ahead.
New England plus one.
Oh, you know, that's how this – I mean, you don't have a mansion and a yacht laying 2.5. He's plus one. It is a good message, guys. If you can bet early, bet early. Because usually the number gets sharper, more accurate as you get closer to game time. Straight out of Vegas, I'm RJ Bell. Live in Atlanta, Jonas Knox, Steve Fezzik, NFL expert, joins – on Radio Row. All right, Fez, my guess is over 99% of the action, if it stays at 2.5, will be at 2.5 come kickoff, meaning the amount of action and all those other numbers, you're one of those one percenters with that in your pocket. I think all the numbers before 2.5 are going to be less than 1% of the total handle and 99% at 2.5. Agree, disagree?
Agree. Those bets that were made a week ago last Sunday night are negligible compared to the overall handle.
Now, let's talk about the underdog phenomenon on the money line. We have not discussed this yet, Jonas. You might relate to this. Now, you're a recreational bettor.
And I'm awful at it.
You're a Joe,
yes,
some would say.
Yes.
Jonas.
Yeah.
There's even people who know less than you.
That's not possible.
Yes, about sports.
That is not possible.
It's true. And what they do is they're at the Super Bowl. They might be in Jersey now. They might be Mississippi, all these places. They might be in Vegas where they can bet legally. And they walk up and go, oh, give me the Patriots. And it's like minus 2.5. It's like, what are you talking about, Willis? They don't even understand point spreads. Why can't I just pick the winner? Yeah, give me the Patriots. Oh, you've got to bet 130 to win 100. They're like, I don't want to bet more to win less. What happens if I bet the Rams? They go, well, 100 wins you 110, 120, whatever. Give me that. So what happens is, however they get there, they end up liking the bets, the simplest bet, which is let me bet 100 to win more than 100, and you get a ton of money line on the underdog action. And Fez, explain what that does, because it offers us an opportunity.
Right. So with so many people betting the Rams on the money line plus $1.20, eventually the books get lopsided on Rams money line.
They want to make it less attractive to bet that.
So they drop it down from plus 120 to plus 115, maybe even plus 110. And when they drop it down on the Rams, then the odds on New England on the money line get more attractive.
Exactly. Imagine it moves together, and thus it's misaligned. It's two markets that are very connected, but the pricing gets misaligned. So thus, typically, minus 2.5 would be what on the money line?
Right around minus 140.
140. We don't know for sure where it's going to go come Super Bowl Sunday, but I wouldn't be surprised if it gets down to, let's say, minus 125 on the Patriots.
I would not be surprised as well. Bargains on the Patriots on the money line on Sunday.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific. On Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
All right, guys, so we continue on here. Super Bowl 53, we've got the seven biggest factors heading into the game this Sunday. We're on factor number 3. RJ, the three players we expect to play differently than you listening might expect, and we start with Tom Brady.
Yeah, what's been the narrative this week? Is Tom Brady too old? That's the question. We've debated it on this show. But here's what we know. As Tom Brady's reached the later stages of his career, there's been one factor not discussed much that has a lot to do with how well he plays in a given game. Fez, that factor is?
The factor is the fact that he gets banged around too much, RJ, at the end of the year.
Yeah, it's his rest. Older quarterbacks, they take the hits, and they just don't recover as quickly. And if you're physically limited anyway by age, that tweaked ankle, that problem with your hand, all of a sudden it's compounded. I think Tom Brady is as rested for this game, as healthy for this game, as any game since September probably. Why? Week 16, home, double-digit favorite, ran the ball, the team did, the Pats a ton. Brady, low-intensity game, they won by double digits. It was the Jets and the Bills, week 17, same thing, double-digit favorite, ran the ball a bunch, low-intensity game. Both home, no travel, no strange beds. Then a bye, all resting, rehabbing, who knows what, TB12. Then at home again. Chargers come in, supposed to be a tough game, domination. They run the ball again. Brady doesn't take many hits. Psychologically, emotionally, not a tough game. Now, go on the road in the cold. That's a tough one. Tough close when they win. And now another bye. So literally like in 8 weeks, he's played one tough game. I mean, all NFL games are tough. But amongst that spectrum, one tough game, I think Brady is as rested as he's been, as healthy as he's been. And at his age, that makes a huge difference. I expect him to perform better than you might expect based on the season stats.
Brady has not been sacked in the playoffs. He has only been pressured 11% of the time in the playoffs.
Now, how's that compare? 11%? What's the average NFL
number?
Oh,
it's much higher. It's like 25% for an average.
Guys, next player we expect to play differently than you listening might expect is Todd Gurley.
And I don't know what people expect from Gurley, because it's the question no one wants to ask.
Strangest thing all week long.
I'll tell you something, and I'm not reporting this. I'm saying someone told me this. Blind item is what they call it in the New York papers. Someone with connections on Radio Row told me he heard and believes it's something they can't say, that it's such a private matter that they'd be uncomfortable saying it, or maybe the laws about certain things where you can't talk about them if you're the employer. I'm not saying that's true, but boy, that would explain a lot, because it doesn't make any sense. The fact he's not on Gurley, the injury report, and only carries the ball four times in that game, it's really the same as if LeBron James were in a seventh game of a conference final and played like 8 minutes. It wasn't a Gurley underperformed, it was he didn't have a chance to perform. Four carries. I know he missed a pass, but still, you don't have a guy that's one of the top five non-quarterbacks in the NFL in the biggest game of the year against the Saints and have him carry the ball four times unless something's very wrong.
And the fact that he hasn't come out and complained about anything, in fact, his attitude has been great all along. Nobody's spoken out against him or expressed disappointment in
him.
That's
a good point.
There's something there. I don't buy that C.J. Anderson is just a better running back at this point in his career than Todd Gurley.
Because if so, the other 31 teams
right.
for 10 weeks, they
right.
said no
right.
thank you
right.
when he was on the couch watching the red zone. Fez, let's quickly quantify Gurley's discount, his downgrade. Let's consider how many yards was his typical over under rushing before these issues, and what's the Super Bowl number?
Middle of the year, over under was 98, almost 100 yards. Now his number, expected number of rush yards, 64 in the Super Bowl.
So like a 35% downgrade in rush yards expected from Gurley. That's Vegas saying we have no idea what's going on with him. We're going to discount him significantly and see what happens. That's all we can do, but it's important to define how important Gurley has been to the Rams, and if he is on the shelf one way or the other, big factor in the game.
Guys, the last player we expect to play differently than you might expect is Gronk, Rob Gronkowski.
I think this is big. Bill Simmons talks about Gronk like a 1969 Corvette. You have it in the garage.
It's interesting you picked that year, by the way.
Well, you know,
that fits for Gronk.
Remember Springsteen, 69 Chevy with a 396.
Of course.
All right.
Course.
Racing in the streets, baby. All right. Now, what does he mean by that? It means if it's raining, you don't take the car out. If the wind's blowing, you think a rock might come and hit it. You don't. What have they done with Gronk? they really haven't thrown to him that much. He's blocked a lot. He's been a decoy. When they do throw to him, it tends to be outside. They don't want him taking hits in the middle of the field. Well, last week, Fez, or last game, they took him out of the garage. Give some numbers.
Yeah, so 6 receptions, 79 yards in his 4 games prior
Gronk
to that.
Gronk we're talking about.
Yeah, Gronk had not gotten more than 2 catches. Gronk had not gotten more than 25 yards.
In the last game?
6 catches, 79 yards for Gronk.
Now, this analogy, let's extend it. You've sold your car, and you've got your money. It's the last day with the car. It's raining. It's hailing. What do you do?
Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
You're out, baby. Gronk is going for a ride. Now, I don't love the idea, or at least Belichick is taking Gronk for a ride. Might be the way to say it. I'm not saying play the over, Fez, but, boy, I wouldn't be anxious to play the under. What's the one of Gronk's maybe receptions, maybe yards? What's his number?
Yeah, so his number on reception yards is up to 53.5. Wise guys have been betting the over. It opened 51.5.
So it has gone up.
Yes.
And it's only 53.5, though.
Yes.
Interesting.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.
I'm RJ Bell. We are Straight Outta Vegas live in Atlanta.
And I'm Jonas Knox, voice of you, the fan. We've been breaking down the 7 biggest factors heading into Super Bowl 53 this Sunday between the Patriots and the Rams. It is time for Factor 7 prop betting rules, RJ.
Teach a man to fish, he eats forever. Give a man a fish sandwich, he eats that day. I love fish sandwiches, but let's do a little teaching here. Prop betting rules. Fez is going to give you his very best prop here in a moment, but this is the guy. This is the guide you as you go through your props. Number one, rule A, we'll call it, define how you expect the game to be played. How are you handicapping the game? So, for example, I expect the Patriots to run the ball a ton out of 2-back, power football, fullback. If so, one of my props, for example, over 119 yards, it's up to 120 in some spots, rushing for the Patriots. Team rushing yards over, let's call it 120 now. Why do I like that? It's because I expect the Patriots to run. I could be right, I could be wrong, but that's my handicap. That drives my handicap of the prop. The game handicap drives the prop handicap. Prop betting rule B, who do you expect to win? Because the team that's winning is going to throw less late, and the team that's losing is going to throw more. Team that's winning is going to run more. Team that's losing is going to run less. So if you're trying to decide over, under rush yards, et cetera, who you expect to win the game, another factor. Factor 3 on the prop betting rules, and this is Super Bowl only. Use your fantasy knowledge, because any opinion you could possibly have that was a fantasy opinion. This tight end's going to do well. This kicker's going to do whatever. There's a prop, an associated prop you can bet. Thus, all the time a lot of you spend with fantasy, embrace it, look at it like a fantasy pick, and then go find the prop that backs up your opinion. D, unders, not overs. Unders, not overs. Why? Because overs are fun. Well, fun means they're expensive. Unders, they stink. You're rooting. Don't catch that ball, Gronk. Oh, my gosh. It doesn't matter if it's points, it's yards, whatever. The average fan loves betting overs. And Fez, you is, in my opinion, the best prop bettor in the world. I'd say what? At most 30% of your props would be over. 70% under?
Even that's high. Maybe 20% overs, 80% unders on the players.
Let me tell you a truth. You can debate. You can try to act like it's not true. You would be wrong. If you're betting even half overs, you're not betting like a pro. Doesn't mean you can't have fun with it. But if you're trying to win, that's an easy way to increase your chance of winning. Finally, avoid risking a little to win a lot. We love it, right? Put up a buck, win a million. That sounds fun. That's what the lottery's based on. But the fact of the matter is, the bookies, they're bad. They're dastardly. They know people love to bet a little to win a lot, so they charge you commission. What professionals do is bet a lot to win a little. Not always, but they're willing to do it. Faz, one of your favorite props. This is one of those, are you, do you have the stuff to be a pro better? You probably don't. This is a good example. Talk about the overtime prop.
Yeah, every year in the Super Bowl, I bet that there will be no overtime. Have to put up $9 to win $1.
So think about this. Minus 900, $9 wins you a dollar. Oh, my gosh, that sounds terrible. What happens if I lose? Oh, my gosh, wasn't there an overtime just recently? Okay, what's the math say the odds of an overtime being?
About 7% in a Super Bowl game.
Okay, so literally you're saying the odds should be like minus 1,500, minus 1,600. You're laying minus 900.
Talk about your overlay, RJ.
By definition, that's a good bet. And you know, Jonas, and this is going to excite some people. This is actually like being the house in a casino. If you go up drunk at a roulette table and just stumble and put $5 down, like you're trying to put it on 19, but you accidentally put it on 20.
That's my move.
Right? What is the house's position on your bet? They're laying minus 3,500, right? Meaning if you win, they're paying you $35. And what's the true odds on the roulette, Fez?
38-1.
So literally they're saying it's supposed to be minus 3,800. We're willing to lay minus 3,500. That's how they build billion-dollar casinos, that little edge. Fez is laying 900 when it's supposed to be 1,500. That edge is so much bigger. Now, one last thing, warning on that. You've got to understand your bankroll management. I don't think you should necessarily lay 9 to win 1. You can decide that for yourself. But what you can't do is better be on the other side of that. Fez, about 90 seconds, give us your favorite prop. We've been leading up to it all show.
Matty Holden, our Dream Preview podcast, also like this. New England Patriots, third down conversions over 5.5. The Pats have emphasized the run in the playoffs. Effective runs on first and second downs lead to easy third down conversions, and the Pats have been converting. They've been averaging 10 third down conversions per game in the playoffs. We're going over 5.5 third down conversions for the Patriots.
So that's about even money?
Yes.
So five. So if they get 6 third down conversions, you win the bet. I like this one too, and it fits in, Jonas, with the concept that I think the Pats are going to run the ball. So if they get 4 yards, now you get a lot of third and shorts. If you're throwing the ball a lot, you don't even face as many third downs. To me, that bet goes together, and there's one other factor. It makes me like over 5.5 third down conversions with Fezzik for the Pats. Edelman, 12 playoff games since 2013. He's averaged 9 catches for 100 yards. So he steps up in these playoff games, and he's Mr. Third Down when it comes to the Pats. I like it. What a week on Radio Row. It was so great to be next to Jonas. Remember, guys, we have our special show.
Yes.
Super Bowl Sunday, noon Eastern time, the first ever prop extravaganza on a major national radio network.
The Odd Couple is next here on Fox Sports Radio, live from Atlanta for Super Bowl 53. We are straight out of Vegas. We'll be back on Monday, 6 p.m.
Sunday,
Eastern
baby.
Time. Yeah, and Sunday, noon Eastern time, and then back in this slot Monday, straight out of Vegas here, Fox Sports Radio.
Straight out of Vegas!
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.